two of Jesus' disciples on the evening of the day of resurrection were headed from Jerusalem to a little town called Emmaus, some 7 miles away. And as they were going along, they were talking with one another about everything that had happened during the past week. And sure enough, Jesus comes along and begins to walk with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about?" And they stopped and they stood still and they looked down. Their eyes were downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, said to Jesus, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who has not heard what has happened?" And they said to him, "What things? What has happened?" And they said, "To Jesus of Nazareth, of course, who was a prophet, mighty in power and in word before God and all the people. He was arrested and turned over to the chief priest and the rulers. He was sentenced to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel." And Jesus said to them, "Oh, you slow of heart and foolish men, did you not know that the Messiah must undergo these things before he would come into his glory?" And then he began to explain to them, beginning in Moses, in the scriptures, everything about himself as they were walking and talking along the road. Well, the time came where they came to Emmaus, and Jesus acted as if he was going to go on ahead of them. And they said to him, "Stay with us, for it is evening, the day is almost done." And so Jesus went in and stayed with them. And there they shared bread. Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks for the bread. He broke the bread and began to give it to them. And that is when their eyes were opened and they recognized who he was, Jesus among them. And then he disappeared. Well, they were very excited, and they said to one another, "How were our hearts burning when he was opening the word for us on the road?" And that very hour, even though it was nighttime, they turned around and went all the way back to Jerusalem. And they met with the 11 who were there with some of their friends. And they began to share stories. And the 11 told them that it is true. Jesus is alive. And they told the 11 what had happened to them along the roadside. And that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Praise be to God, the risen Christ. Christ is arisen. It's still Easter, everyone. Once again, Christ has arisen. He is risen indeed. Amen. It's still Easter. We are in the season of Easter, Eastertide. We're going to dwell here for a while, for a month, bask in the life of the risen one, of Jesus Christ. The reason why we're doing this is because it's easy to get down, isn't it? It's easy to get back into the things after some excitement, go back to the mundane business as usual, unchanged from what has happened. And that's a shame. But we have to give these two men their due. After all, it only happened this morning. The women came to them in the morning, reported that the tomb was empty. Some of them went to the tomb to verify that story. They were confused. They were bewildered. What did it all mean? The grave being empty? Still too fresh in their minds. They're trying to come to grips with this. So perhaps they do what the only thing they can think of doing, and that is going home. Why Emmaus? Emmaus is a place not mentioned in Scripture at all until this. Two men not mentioned in Scripture, Cleopas and his friend. Maybe they were returning to that old place, back to what they knew, to kind of take things in. Emmaus, a place to hang out. Just an ordinary place along the road. But an extraordinary thing happened to them on the road, didn't it? Jesus appeared to them unexpectedly. Maybe he was playing a trick on them, snuck up on them from behind. I can just picture Jesus saying to himself, I got these guys. I'm going to play a little trick on them. I'm going to disguise myself so they can't see who I am, and then I'm going to appear to them and then disappear. It'll drive them crazy. Unexpected. A holy moment on a familiar road. It says that they were downcast. Downcast. Still dealing with their emotions of all that's happened. The stress, the fear that they felt that maybe it was their turn to be next to the cross. We've all been there. We all know what this feels like. To be stuck with blinders on, to be spinning in our heads over and over again the same problems and issues, our personal things. I was there in a way yesterday. It was raining. It was a long drive there and back to New Bremen. I was by myself. It's an easy drive, really. You go west on 30. You get off and you go south on 75, and then there's an exit to New Bremen. You go west a little bit more, and there you are. Shouldn't be hard, but I missed both exits, both turns. What happened? I wasn't paying attention. Too busy thinking to myself, too busy toiling in my own mind with my own things and issues. So too were these guys. Maybe that's the reason why they didn't notice Jesus. They were so concerned about them, their own feelings and emotions. They didn't have their heads up looking around. They weren't noticing what was going on around them. They didn't stop and smell the roses. They stopped for a pause to lament. Jesus is patient with them, though. Patient with them. What must have taken hours to explain to them each and everything in the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, all the prophets about Jesus? Several hours it must have taken that to do all that. And yet they still didn't know, still didn't realize that this is Jesus. Who else would be talking about the Messiah in such a way? Who else can make them believe? Who else can make their hearts burn? Who else would have this knowledge of Scripture? No, they still did not realize. So deep in the hole were they, walking in their shadows. Holy moments like this are elusive in life. They're fleeting. They're few and far between. When they do happen, the mundane kind of comes in around us. The ordinary comes back in around us like a curtain. Curtains are drawn. So we should treasure moments like this experience on Emmaus. And we've all been there before as well, haven't we? Haven't we had some kind of an experience with the risen Christ, and they all might be different from one another. And that's the beauty of it. What joy they must have had comparing stories when they got back to Jerusalem. All those different stories, angels, Jesus appearing to them in the garden, Jesus on the road. All of our stories are different. We need to treasure these. We need to hang on to these. We need to let them change us. We need to let them become significant for us. So we can walk with the stranger again. We can't call back the angels. We can't walk again with Jesus in the very same way that we did. But that does not mean that Easter is not over, friends. It is not over. It stretches into the rest of our lives. The story continues. The road continues. It's just the beginning. It's just a beginning. God is putting a bookend here in our lives. God is making a chapter break, a page break. You know how you're typing along in Word and you have the option of making a break here to start a new page, whether you're done with that page or not. You can stop right there and start a new page in your lives. Easter Day stretches into a series of experiences, one after another. Immediately after this, as the disciples are talking in that room, Jesus appears to them again. It doesn't say if any time has passed at all. Could be a few hours. That's it. Jesus appears to them. A series of events over the next few days and weeks until Jesus is ascended into heaven. The rest of the biblical story is an extension of Easter. Easter is the springboard. Easter is a reality that we live into. A new reality, a reality that we are in now. We're not going to forget about Easter. We're not going to let go of Easter. The clouds are going to be white for a few more weeks. We're going to light candles for a few more weeks. The cross is going to be draped in white for a few more weeks and hang on to that, to really let it sink into our lives. Like it finally sank in for those disciples in Emmaus. Where will we find God in the future, in our lives? Where will we find God? We'll find God again on ordinary roads, in unexpected places, and in expected places as well. Don't want to think that God doesn't show up here. Here at church, when we sing and pray, God is here with us. We expect God to be here with us. God will show up for us here. If we continue to practice reading the Word, what were they doing when their hearts were burning? Jesus was giving them the Word. You want to experience God? Open up a Bible. Read the stories again. Read the gospel. Pick out one of the gospels. Read it. Pick out Acts of the Apostles. Read it again. Just let the basic stories take hold of you again. It doesn't have to be some complicated contemplation on the nature of faith and theology for you to have a moment like what the people on Emmaus did that day. Our hearts will be strangely warmed when we do the practices that have been given to us, when we pray the way that God said to pray through Jesus, when we break bread. God will be present. That is when the disciples' eyes were opened and they recognized and they saw Jesus for what he was. Continue to do that. Continue to practice in those same ways. Who else was in despair? Who else had their hearts strangely warmed Perhaps there was no one more famous in the history of the church than John Wesley as a prime example. John Wesley was a theologian, already a minister when he became in a shadowy place, when he came into a shadowy place, when he was down. He was down and out. He was despairing. And this was going on for a while. He wanted to give up the ministry, set it aside. But a Moravian friend of his suggested that, quote, he preach faith until you have it. And then when you have it, you can preach it. A self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Keep saying it until you have the faith, and then you will preach it. In other words, maybe his friend was telling him to go through the motions. Sometimes it's good to go through the motions. We don't want to be stuck in going through the motions. We don't want to just be satisfied with going through the motions. No, don't stop there. But sometimes it might become necessary to go through the motions. So he did that. He ministered to a prisoner in prison, and that prisoner experienced the grace of Christ. Right then and there, was transformed and converted to the Christian faith. His life was turned around, and Wesley was dumbfounded because he's still struggling. Here he is, the one giving him the word of God. And yet he was an instrument of God's transformation. What could this mean? Reminds me of the story of Cornelius when he was asked to go to see Saul, right? And he said, no, not me. I don't want to go see that guy. He's a persecutor of the church. And when Cornelius went and saw him, of course, Paul was converted. He was transformed and was never the same again. Reluctant person used for the gospel. And it worked. It worked. So then Wesley thought to himself, and he began to search and pray to help his unbelief, he said, help his unbelief. And then on May 24th in 1738, in an evening prayer service and a revival, he experienced a strange warming of the heart, as he put it. Strange warming of the heart, simply from the scriptures being read. It was as simple as that for him. Romans. Just simply hearing the word of God, Paul's word, about grace over works, turned him around, and he was never the same since. It's not complicated, folks. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's okay to question and search, but it doesn't have to be that way. Allow yourselves just to be transformed with simple things like the breaking of the bread, and be reminded that Christ is living, that Christ is for you, that Christ died and lives for you. We don't want to stop there. Oftentimes we stop there. We say, Jesus died for you. Jesus lives for you too. Jesus lives for you, is living now. This Emmaus story is played out in our lives over and over and over. Somebody downstairs asked me if I've seen any miraculous things happen. And I thought about it. I said, well, I don't know if I've seen anything overtly miraculous, like the lame getting up and walking like you see on TV, or somebody waking up from a coma after being prayed over. It's something, you know, obviously miraculous. But I do experience the miraculous every day. And that's the way it should be. It's not simply a one and done experience. It might be fleeting. It might be few and far between. But seek it. Seek it. And when you find it, treasure that in your hearts. Let it burn in your hearts. Let it make a difference. Let it transform you. Let us be transformed by the living one who comes in our midst. Amen.